Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh, magnify
the Lord with me.
His name
together. Come on and magnify the Lord with me. His name
together.
The mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to another segment of the Crossroad Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and yes, you are listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Crossroad Broadcast is a group of professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. Today here on the broadcast, we're going to be discussing interpersonal relationships. And we're going to have Dr. June Normill a part of this broadcast. She is going to come and she is going to give you some very vital information about interpersonal relationships. So you still have time to call a friend, call a neighbor, tell them that the Crossroad broadcast is now on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. The word of God say what we do in word or deed, we are to do it in the name of Jesus. And here at the Crossroad broadcast, we will always lift Christ up. We will always be great representative of him, and we will give you the word of God. Because after all, we are Christian counselors. We know a greater Christian counselor, that is Jesus Christ himself. But we want you to just to know that everything that is given to you here today and any other day, it will be according to God's word. Let's go ahead and go before the throne of grace in prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, Father, for the great and the mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, Father, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Father, we ask thee, God, to look upon every listener that are listening, Father, faithfully to this broadcast. And Father God, whatever that need is today, we pray even now, God, that you, God, will prepare them and you will touch them. And God, that they will be sensitive, Father, to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to the speaker, Father God, that they too will be able, God, to be blessed. Father, I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, that we reach out to those, Father God, that are in our immediate area, those around the United States of America, and also those that are on foreign soil. So we ask thee even now, God, God, to touch, God, revive, restore, brighten up the day of those that are going through interpersonal relationships. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You are listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We're getting ready, and we're excited about our topic on today. We're, again, going to be speaking on the topic, interpersonal relationship. We would like to bring forth our speaker for this evening, and that is none other than Dr. June Normill. Get ready for her as she comes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give an honor to God for allowing me to come before you today, and I thank you, radio audience, for giving the ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. My topic today is interpersonal relationships. Interpersonal relationships. And you may be wondering, what does interpersonal relationships mean? Interpersonal relationship refers to an association between two or more people. The basis of this association might be love, same interest, work, business engagement, and family relations, among others. So among this topic, what I'm going to give you, and we can look at ourselves, even myself as I talk about this topic and also yourself as you hear, we're going to subtopic this lesson is examining the person in the mirror. And I'm going to start off by talking about a man named Scott. He was in the stereo business, and he was very competent about what he did. He worked as a sales manager for a chain of stores, and they sell speakers, stereo components, and music systems. Everybody in the company, they recognized the competence of that he knew what he was doing, and that even the customers themselves, every customer that came in there, they just loved Scott. He was good at what he's doing, and he knew how to get over to the customers, let them know, to make them feel welcome, to make them even know how to make a sale. He could come over to the customer so well that everybody he came in contact with, he made a sale. And that even though, like, at the end of the month, his paycheck looked real good because that's just how much commission that he had. And everybody just loved Scott. The customers appreciate all his charm and all the knowledge that he had about stereos and things that they want to know about that area. Scott always had an answer for them. And he appeared to be, you know, genuinely interested in the customers and the intent on providing good service for them. So what happened was the people and the customers, they saw Scott's personality. They saw the mask that he was portraying before them. But Scott had a problem. Scott didn't get along with the people in the company. He was impatient with his fellow employees who asked him questions. And when they made mistakes, he just went over the top. He just had zero tolerance with them. And he expected them to do different things that he couldn't even do himself. He expected them to be punctual on time. And whenever they come short, sometimes they may be late for work, he'll use swear words. He will curse them out. And then sometimes he won't even be on time himself. He had just that kind of nasty attitude. His interpersonal skills were just terrible among his coworkers. See that because they was around him long enough. But the workers, I mean the customers, they only see the personality, that mask that he put on. He even be able to portray that because he was willing and wanted to make a good sale, and that what he did. But how many of you know that people won't always put up with our mess? When we don't act right, we got to have a good character. That's what it is, not just a personality, because a personality is just a mask, and that's what Scott was portraying. But so Scott just continued to go on and on, that he wouldn't even do what he was told to do. And whenever he was given instruction by the company owner, he felt this like an inner rage, this anger that just urged him to resist. And then sometimes he secretly ignored his boss directives and did things his own way. But how many of you know that came out to an end? So the co-worker saw Scott's character. And what happened with that, Scott was fired because of his poor interpersonal skills and relationship he had with his co-workers. It's a shame because Scott had the ability, he had the knowledge, he had the competence of being a good salesperson, but he just was not a people person. He just didn't get along with people at work. So he was dismissed from his job. And Scott, being the person that he is that some suggested to Scott maybe he may go and try to receive counseling, but Scott, he refused to receive counseling from anyone because he didn't like anyone telling him what to do. And it didn't start off with Scott just being inside the employment place. It started off a long time ago in Scott's environment and his home. Scott would do the same thing with his father. He would just be disrespectful. And not only that, when he went to grade school, high school, college, he did the same thing. That same personality just went on to him. That the same, it followed him everywhere he go. That mask, that personality, what he do when he get around other people. But the character, the real him embedded in him, and what's in him, it came out of him. And it came out so many times at the appropriate time for the individual who was receiving it, but not the proper time for him until he lost his job. But, you know, Scott, even though his knowledge about stereos and being making more money in his body on the job, it came out to be real low in his fate. And that's the same thing with people. They have hope in the personal skills. We have to learn how to cope. We got to learn how to get along with others, regardless of what kind of abilities, what kind of experience we may have. And if we don't, it led us to a bad and long, sad end. That's what happened to Scott. Well, you know, human beings, we are all our social creatures. Even at the time of creation, God said it was not good for humans being to be alone. So what he did was he gave Adam a companion, instructed the human race to multiply. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And in the beginning of them doing that, the whole world was created like it is so far today, starting off with Adam and Eve, the beings of people that now occupy the earth. But like, even though the definition of interpersonal skills and relationship, what it means is whenever you see two or more people together, there are going to be times when interpersonal relationship sometimes will work out smooth, sometimes they'll work out real good, and then other times they might work out real bad. whenever two or three or more people are together, that's called interpersonal relationship. And during that relationship, during that communication time, sometimes things will work out good. Sometimes things will work out bad. And that's what happened. But God has did that even from the beginning of time, starting off with Adam and Eve. But the Bible let us know that none of us are perfect. We all are human beings, but we are imperfect. But there is a way that we are learned. We can be taught. We can learn how to communicate with others. And even though when a person is find themselves with poor communication, poor interpersonal skills, they can be changed if they're willing to do that. The Bible got a long history talking about problems of communication breakdown. Starting off with Adam and Eve, they were the first married couple, and they had a disagreement even in the Garden of Eden about the sin or what who was the person, the reason why they sinned. And even their first two sons, they had conflicts that led to murder. It don't stop there. It just go on and on and on. Even with Lot, you know, he had a fight. That was Abraham's nephew. They had a fight about the land, and there was family dispute in the whole world. And it caused sessions of wars, and it continued throughout the whole Old Testament. And it just didn't stop at the Old Testament. It also carried on because we are still talking about interpersonal relationship, and that's when two or three people or more are communicating. That's when you have a interpersonal communication gaps in relationships. Sometimes they're strong, sometimes they're weak. And as we talked about, even in the New Testament, there was a time where Paul, he had a strong doctrine about interpersonal relationships. There are many times he wrote his letters to the Corinthians expressing that he even feared even coming to visit them because he knew that he said he might find quarreling, jealousies, fear, anger, slander, gospel, and arrogance and disobedience and other evidence of interpersonal tension and sin. And this was happening inside. This was happening in the church way back in the Bible days, way back then. Something new under the sun. It happened way back then. And a lot of times, but we don't condone and we don't support interpersonal relationship. But God always have an antidote. He always have a cure. He always have an answer how to deal with things that's not pleasing to his sight, or even if you have to deal with it, how to deal with it and be able to walk with a person with integrity, even when things don't go our way and we're dealing with difficult people, people we just, it's hard to understand. Some people, I'm telling you this, sometimes it's just hard to get along, but God would give us the grace that he would give us what to do when we're dealing with a person that has those kind of bad interpersonal skills. And you look in the book of Proverbs, that's one of the best books you could read about in the Bible that talks about interpersonal skills. They tell you how to hold our tongues and how to avoid slander. When we deal with difficult people, it tells us, you know, what to do when we're in the midst of people gossiping, how not to gossip and how to avoid flattery and how just to trust God in all those kind of situations, because if we don't, we'll find our interpersonal skills to be looking very ungodly, and it'll be a poor witness to others. But like I say, all of us are human. None of us are perfect. But God give us a way of escape. God give us a roadmap how to carry ourselves and how to conduct ourselves when we're in the midst of interpersonal relationships that seems to be very challenging. And also how to also cause someone else awkward or someone else bad interpersonal skills to dictate to us, to cause our interpersonal skills to be ungodly. We are trying to avoid that. But if you read the book of Proverbs, they tell us a lot of things what to do about how to have effective interpersonal skills. And also, you read the book, even the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about interpersonal skills. It's showing how we should love one another, how we should be a blessing to one another. And it's always talking about dealing with the individual. And a lot of times, when we, as people, we sometimes judge people and we sometimes put down people and sometimes we use people for the reason for us, the reason for ourselves is to act a certain way, but there's no justification for what we're doing. It's no payback to that we want to put things in our hand. That's why we should also and always give it to God. He will tell us how to deal with difficult people. He will show us how to deal with difficult people. And he will also, if we, like I said, we're looking at the person in the mirror, we see ourselves, he will also show us ourselves when we sometimes can make it hard for people to difficult people to deal with us. Because sometimes we ourselves, because we're not him, we can do things, we can say things that it make people very hard to even deal with us as individuals. That's why we're going to examine the men in the mirror, and we're going to see ourselves on a twofold coin while we're talking about this interpersonal relationship. We're going to see the things that's not right in others and pray for them, and we're going to pray and that God will show us ourselves and that we'll be able to do and change our habits and ways that's not pleasing to God, that people be able to put up with us. And, you know, Jesus, he talked about even right now, we get close to the Christmas time, the Christmas season, and we also talk about, you see the Christmas cards and the Christmas carols, and they're talking about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, Jesus being the peacemaker. And that's true, as Jesus is. And so we get to this time in that season, and God expects, and Jesus expects us to have that same characteristic, that same thing, that same characteristic, like I say, that Jesus displayed, that we'll be able to do that too. When people see us and people hear us and people watch us, they'll be able to say that we are peacemakers as well. We don't want to show people our personality, because we all have personality. We could put our church personality on when we're in church. We know how sometimes we could get at home, when people be at home, they could just take off their hat and act like a whole different person. When we, I'm saying myself as well as I'm talking to you all, because we're talking about the men examining ourselves. When we're in public, we know how to act like we're in public. We know how to act when we're in church. We know how to act when we're in jobs. We know how to care about ourselves when we're around certain people. All of that is just personalities. That is just a mask. But we're talking about interpersonal relationships. We want to be effective. We want to have our character washed. We want to have our character cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we want to be able to be true peacemakers as well as Jesus was a peacemaker. And that he is about inside of us. But as we see many biblical statements about personal relationships, there are several things that are apparent. And number one is good and personal relationships and relations begin with Jesus Christ. As being a Christian, every Christian, we have to know that our relationship with Jesus is going to be our strength to break down every interpersonal barriers and the walls of hostility that divide people. You know, the followers even of Jesus, they have been promised an inner supernatural production of peace that give internal stability. They'll be able to hold on to that. They'll be able to walk the walk and talk the talk, even in times of turmoil and interpersonal tension, because it's a lot of times we all could talk about and we all can show the peace. We all can show the bright side of us, the good side of us, when things are going our way, when we have no challenge. But God and Jesus want to give us that peace of God that comes when we confess our sins. When we confess our sins, that kind of peace will come. And we ask God to take control of our lives and expect him that he would give us that peace that the Word of God promised. And, you know, and that kind of peace, it turns and should calm most of the time an interpersonal decision, because a lot of times it's easy to have to show interpersonal characteristics when things are going well, but God and Jesus want to give us that kind of interpersonal skills and characteristics that we can show when we are being challenged, when we are dealing with difficult people, but we show still could be able to show that love, still to be able to show that peace. And another thing to come on that we have to have that interpersonal characteristics and relationship with God is the second thing that we need is apparent is good interpersonal relationship depends on personal trait. It depends on personal trait. And even though it's always going to be negotiation between individuals and conflict against even at home, work, even in between our country, but even at peacemaking, it often can be helpful, you know, in that situation. But the Bible puts greater emphasis on the attitude. It's the attitude and characteristic of the person involved in that dispute. It's okay and it's normal and it's healthy if a person don't always agree with me or a person don't always agree with you. That's normal for it to happen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But what God and what Jesus emphasized on, they talk about the attitude and our characteristic of us, of ourselves, individuals involved in that dispute. And Paul talks about that. Even in the book of Corinthians, he talks about that. He said, Paul says, divided by three types of people in those categories. First of those type of people is the non-believing people. And those are the individuals And either the group of people, no individual or a group of people, that characterized by sexual immorality, involvement in occult practices, hatred or jealousy, uncontrolled anger, selfish ambition and dissension, and envy, and various self-control. You know, them kind of people, the unbelieving people, these people, they desire to strive for peace. They go in a situation, they want peace. They want that relationship to be calm. They want things to go smooth. They want to be able to carry themselves in a way that pleases God, but they unbelieving people, and they want that peace, but their basis, they're alienated from God because they don't have that relationship with God. It made both inner peace and inner personal relationship unattainable. They can't get that. So if you as an unbeliever right now, that's a person who ever gave your life to Christ, confess your faults to the Lord, acknowledge that you're a sinner, ask God to come into your life, but you'll be able to walk and be able to have that peace even if you come in a situation with dealing with interpersonal relationship. And then, like I say, when you think about it, an unbelieving person, when they have no feeling like they get no peace within themselves because they don't have the Prince of Peace within their life, but there's no reason for you not to. When Jesus said, come unto me, all you are heavy laden and burned out, I'll give you rest. You have that opportunity. And the second group of people is known as worldly people. And those worldly people, these are the kind of people that have committed lives to Christ, but they have never grown spiritually. They act like the non-believer people. They often resort to jealousy and quarreling. You know, but they have a lot of people in church. So many people in church members seem to be a part of this kind of group, that we have a sad spectacle of believers in conflict, even in violent conflict. You'll see it's sad and amazing that what seems to go on inside of the body of Christ, inside church building among believers that's going on. And they supposed to be Christians, but they carry themselves as worldly people. And that's what happened. But some of these worldly Christians, they read the Bible regularly, and they have a good understanding of theology, but their belief mostly, the intellectual, it seems to have little influence over their interpretation and their interpersonal relationship. But the third type of person is spiritual people, and these are the people, and these are the Christians who yield to divine control. They seek God. They seek to live. They seek to please. They seek to walk and talk the way Christ allow us and want us to walk. And sometimes Christians, you know, we slip. Sometimes we as Christians slip into the formal world and the ways of action. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes a Christian may fall. But more often, they show that they increase the evidence for the fruit of the Spirit. Even if they fall, though a man stumbles seven times, he get up. We don't fall down. We don't stay down. We get up as being Christian. We fall. Talking about the interpersonal relationship, spiritual people, Christian. Sometimes you fall, but then you will know because the fruit of the Spirit is in the individual. It's inside of you, the fruit of the Spirit that talks about in Galatians. It's in you, and it calls you to want to get it right with God. It calls you not to stay down. It calls you when you find fault in your brother, when you did something to hurt somebody, to harm you, it's just that peace within you would not let you rest. You make that thing right. You go back and apologize. There won't be a problem with that. It involves love. The fruit of the Spirit involves that love, that joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Talk about the gifts and the ability. Talk about the fruit. That's one way you know that a Christian is walking in God. And that's one thing, the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to take you and to keep us. Even reading, like I say, the Word of God in the Proverbs, it'll tell us how we deal with people and how what we do when people deal with us, how to be able to do that. But when people are transformed within, you know, a slow process changes from the begin with their out of behavior. So it takes time. A lot of times, you won't see people that even when they change, it don't happen overnight. And in time, it enables them to build a better interpersonal relationship. You know, even Christian counselors, even pastors, they can remember some important things that they would tell you as being a lay member, as being a member. You could seek counseling from your pastor, seek Christian counselor, someone who's real seasoned in the Lord, not going to compromise with you. If you know that you have an attitude problem, if you see something that's wrong with your communication skill with anybody, even at home, even at your job, even at church, it can be something within yourself. And then you go to your people that God will lead you to, like I said, your pastor, your counselors, to give you Christian counsel, advising you to go to, will give you godly information and advice concerning to have a positive and a more effective personal relationship. And good personal relationship involves determination, effort, and skill. You got to be determined. You got to make efforts. It's just not going to happen because you just wished that it was. You got to sometimes bite the bullet. Sometimes you got to take the right and sometimes take the wrong, even when you was right. You got to have skills. A good interpersonal relationship does not always happen automatically. It won't happen overnight. Even though you are a committed Christian, the Bible, even along with psychology, agrees that good relationship depends on the consistent development, application of skills such as listening carefully, watching, understand oneself and others, and refraining from unkind comments or emotional outbursts, and communicating accurately. All these things I just told you, they are skills that can be learned, and all of these things can be accomplished with the help of Jesus Christ. Now time has came short of this lesson for today, and I just thank God for just giving me the opportunity to impart in you what he has given me. And until next week, we will continue again with interpersonal relationships, examining the person in the mirror. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Well, I'd like to thank Dr. June Normia for such an awesome study of the interpersonal relationship. I'm quite sure that each of you were very enlightened, inspired from what you heard on today. And we're going to admonish you to tune in on next week at this very same time as Dr. June Normia began to talk again and speak on interpersonal relationship, examining that person in the mirror. And we have to examine ourselves. Sometimes we're so quick to examine other people, but we have to examine ourselves as well and see whether or not we're those that individual like this young man Scott was. So get ready to get more insight, to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be educated, to be in the know that you can tell someone else. Well, we're getting ready to go again before the throne of grace, and we want you that are listening in our audience today, if you're not saved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Word of God says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Word of God says that we shall be saved. So we want you to know today, no matter what you have gone through, many churches that you may have attended, no matter what club that you may have been on last night or last week, it doesn't matter because Jesus loved you. And so you may be that individual that are going through things like Scott have gone through. You may identify with the person on your job, same person as Scott was, but I want you to know that God, he is in control, and that God is the person that will make the difference in your life. See, at this time of the broadcast, we have to examine ourselves. You know, we can look at other people, but we have to examine ourselves and see whether or not we are in the faith. Are we saved? Do we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Have we said yes to his will and yes to his way? Yes, he has a will for all of us. His will that we be saved. His will that we come into the knowledge of him. His will is that we will give our mind, soul, and our spirit unto him. So at this time, if you're not saved, all you need to do is number one is to mean it. Mean business with Christ. Ask Christ to forgive you for your sin. I had to do it. Dr. Norman had to do it. Other Christians had to do it. Why? Because of the fact we believe the Word of God. And we realize that the Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, that's you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, therefore, we want you to have everlasting life. Do not know the hour when it's coming. But the Word of God let us know he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. We're getting ready to pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you, God, for this awesome day. We thank you, God, because it's been a mighty good day. We thank you, God, for touching those that are on our airway, those that are listening, Father God, for whatever means that you have provided for them. We thank you for all of those that are in Jacksonville, Florida, those that are in Tampa, Chicago, those that are in Texas, God, from city to city, state to state, Father, in the United States of America, and even on foreign soil. So, Lord, we ask thee, God, even now, God, that even as you came into our life and made the difference in our life, Father, we ask thee, God, in the name of Jesus, to touch those that are listening, those that going to be listening, God, to this broadcast, that, God, that they'll know, God, that you're that way out, God, that you are that way of escape, God, that you, Father God, will make the difference in their life. And, Father, we ask the God to do it even today. And, God, whatever day that they're listening, God, to this broadcast, let them know, God, that you came to seek and to save them that are lost. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord, even now, God, because of your word, Father God, all you ask us to do is to confess and to believe, Father God, believe that you died, to believe that you rose again, and Father, believe that you are living inside of us, God, and even when we have asked your forgiveness, that we can believe that you have forgiven us for our sin and for our transgression. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, even now. Touch that boy, touch that girl, touch that man and that woman, God. Not that person, Lord God, that was even on the side, on the edge of suicide. Lord, I ask thee, God, to touch their mind. God, let them know, God, it's not over until you say it's over. And God, that you can cause them to smile again. And God, you can cause that day, God, to be a day of fulfillment, a day of joy, and a day of peace, and all of the fruits of the Spirit that they can have inside of them, as Dr. June Normill has stated, God, on today. Lord, God, just touch them. God, just give them that motivation on the inside, God, that they can make it, and God, that they can do it through you. And Father, we just thank you, and we just praise you. Thank you for our speaker. Thank you, Father God, for the upcoming Father God program that's going to be coming forth on next week. God, we thank you, God, for all the listeners that's going to be listening for a continuation of the broadcast from today. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you have been listening to the Crossroad broadcast. And yes, we do invite you to tune in on this coming Monday at this very same time. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and in your coming out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.